Let's call up another one of your faves on YouTube, and then we're going to play another selection from one of your CDs. So, what other jazz heroes would you like to listen to?
Well, okay, you played a couple ballads. How about something kind of up?
Okay.
How about a tune called The Kicker?
Okay.
That should be, it's a Joe Henderson tune.
Okay. Why this? Why do you like this song? I want to know.
Because it swings. It's really, it's a blues. Yeah, that's it there.
All right.
And it's Joe Henderson was a great saxophone player.
This is the miracle of technology, folks.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to play some Joe Henderson, The Kicker, on Coral FM with my special guest, John Tank. Whoopee!
Thank you.
that was Joe Henderson, the kicker, on Coral FM, and I'm here with John Tank. And we're in the studio together, sitting around the, like, rallying around the microphone, like they used to do in the olden radio days.
Right.
We should talk. We should, I don't know, I don't even know where to start here, but recently I was in New York, and I got the opportunity, or the, it was amazing to just accompany you to live jazz sessions around the village. So one of the places that we went to was Small's Jazz Club, and they have what's called a sort of a tap jazz open jam session. What's it like playing these? Like, as a like, you sat in and played flute
yes.
with the guys. So what was that? What's that like?
Well, when I sat in, it was not much different than sitting in at a regular jam session. Michaela, the Lehrman, the tap dancer, she lets the band play, and basically she tap dances around with whatever they come up with, you know. And she trades fours with the drums, and, you know, so it's not like, you know, the band is in the background. The band is actually really an important part of her performance, you know. She really integrates, you know, or communicates back and forth with them, you know.
That's what she told me. She said that she sort of follows, like, she'll listen to you guys as well, and it's kind of, you kind of meet in the middle, but I thought it was fascinating. So how long have you been doing this? How long have you been playing sessions in the village?
Oh, 35 years.
And where?
Well, I used to play at the Tin Palace. I used to play at a place called Studio Ribby. I played at the Ladies Fort. These are all like clubs that are now gone, but when I first got to New York in 1974, yeah,
wow.
I, you know, there was so much music going on. I mean, it was just like everywhere, and it was kind of a, it was a dangerous place to live at the time. There was a lot of crime going on, but we were into the music, so we sort of somehow, you know, just bypassed all that. We had our own world. Like, the gangsters had their world, we had our world, and you know, we were kind of left alone, you know. But there were some instances where, you know, it got you know, it was tragedy for some people. But you know, especially with all the drugs and heroin, you know, over in Alphabet City. But that's all cleaned up now. I mean, you would never recognize the place. It's not even the same city anymore. You know, it's it became, it used to be so cheap to live there. I mean, you couldn't find a cheaper place in America to live than New York City, and now it's the most expensive place, so.
True that. You live, and the East Village was fascinating. I just loved it. There's another place that you play too called Fat Cat, right? Every once
yes.
in a while? And we're also at the Village Bistro. So you sat in with, who did you, do you remember who you played with when we were there?
At the Village Bistro?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a piano player. All I know Paul's his name is Paul.
Paul Speciale, does that make sense?
It could be, it could
okay.
be. Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting too.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was fun.
Yeah.
How do you do this a lot? Do you play sessions around? Like, do you play around the village a lot these days, or?
Not all that much. You know, I'd like to play more, but you know, I'm more working on trying to, you know, do some gigs in different, like at Small's. I would love to play at Small's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I played there years ago, but I haven't been back there since. But I, you know, they changed management, and, you know, so it's a different scene now, you know, so.
And you've seen it evolve, I would
oh,
guess,
yeah.
over the last 30 years, well, 30 plus years, you've seen it
yeah.
evolve big time.
Well, everybody loves Small's. I mean, it's, to me, it's the best club in New York, because it's owned and operated and supported by musicians.
Mm-hmm.
So all the other clubs, you know, they're just about, you know, it's just a business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Smalls is like a dedication to keep the music alive and to bring in new people. You know, they always have a turnover of people. And then there are some people that they do well there, and they're very well liked, and they're, you know, they're appreciated, and they try to hold on to those people and keep them coming back, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you recently played at the Lake George Jazz Festival?
Yes.
What was that like?
Oh, that was just amazing.
Who did you play with?
Well, I played with the same band that I have on Song of Hope.
Okay.
That was Michael Cochran.
Yep.
And Calvin Hill.
Yep.
And Jeff Hirschfield. It's Song of Hope. And that group, I played twice a year at Fairleigh Dickinson University. That's in Hackensack, New Jersey. And we would be hired to play two concerts a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was never a time when the musicians couldn't make it. So like for 6 years, we had two gigs a year. So at the end of that, when that ended, you know, because they don't have any music anymore, so their funding was cut. So so what happened was I just said, well, let's go into the studio and do a recording. So that's how that album came about.
Okay. We're going to take another little musical break here, and we've got Talk to the Hand from Canadian Sunset.
Yes.
And
now, this was written by Peter Madsen. He's the piano player.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen, just on the head, I've doubled the melody. You know, I recorded it with the tenor, but then I came in and I played a higher part to make it come out a little stronger. So it's a case of, it's like an overdub.
On soprano sax? Or
no,
just tenor?
No, just on tenor.
Okay.
I played one an octave higher, so they're both like, you know, the same notes, but just an octave higher, and it makes it a little more full.
This is Talk to the Hand on Coral FM.
Thank you.
Okay, that was John Tank and Talk to the Hand. Yes. Why did you call this Talk to the Hand?
Well, it wasn't my title. It was Peter Madsen's.
Oh, right. That's right.
And it's kind of a thing that people do, you know, and they, you know, if they don't want to answer you, they just put their hand up and say, Talk to the Hand, you
which
know.
Which is like so arrogant when you think about it.
Yeah.
We should do if people are just tuning in, this is Sound FM, www.soundfm.ca, channel 946 on digital cable. We're on TV too. So people go to their digital channels, we're on 946, and I think we're broadcasting through Blue Treble Clef, so I'm not mistaken. And then 100.3 on your analog dial, which is on the car radio. So if anybody's, you know, listening, hi! And John Tank is my special guest, and he is here for another hour. This is so much fun. This is just too much fun.
Me too.
We're having, I think, you know, the next time you come to town, whenever that's going to be, I think what I should do is just produce the show, and you take over and do Tank FM. And just bring a list of all the songs you want to play, and I will be your producer.
I would love to do that.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
I'd like to play, have people hear tunes that musicians like, you know, that have, you know, we have our own hit parade, and there's certain classic records that come out that all the musicians, they just say, wow, this is it, you know.
Well, we do have turntables here. Like, you could bring vinyl. It's not a problem.
Okay.
Yeah, we have the computer here, which is great because we're just about to call up another one of your favorites. And then we have the CD, the CD player, and we have vinyl. And I love vinyl. I still play vinyl all the time. But my jazz collection is sadly lacking, so you might have to teach me. You're a jazz virtuoso expert, and I'm someone that is curious more and more about jazz the more I listen to it. I don't have the background. I have a certain background in pop culture and rock and roll and all that kind of stuff. I don't have the same background in jazz, so every time I talk to you, I learn so much more. I just sit here like a little sponge.
Well, you know, there's nobody that's going to, be blasting the music out at you, saying, you know, this is what you should listen to. If you want to, like, find out about jazz, you basically have to do the research on your own because, you know, there's not much help.
Yeah.
Now, you could listen to some jazz stations, you know, there's some jazz stations, and you hear something you like, you can write down the name of it, and then, you know, that's about the only way, or friends that are, you know... But you have to have an ear for it, you know. You have to. You have to want to. It doesn't come to you.
No.
You know, like other music, it's all promoted, you know.
Jazz, is it? You're right.
No, you have to go to it.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Well, I remember going to George's Spaghetti House when I was a kid.
I played there.
Yeah, I know. You and Bernie Sinansky.
And Terry Clark.
And Terry Clark,
and
who
Don
you're playing
Thompson.
With again this weekend.
That's right.
Yeah, and Don Thompson, who's a longtime colleague of yours as well.
Yeah, that was a great band because to have both Don Thompson and Bernie Sinansky, usually Don Thompson plays piano, but Don is a great bass player, and to have Bernie playing piano and Terry, because Don and Terry are really, you know, they play together for... ever since they were kids, you know, there's like the right hand and the left hand, you know, it's like they play so well together. And then to have Bernie in there, it was a great rhythm section for me.
Do you find, you've probably played with a lot of these players before, do you find that you get a simpatico after a while?
Well, you kind of do, but, you know, that's a natural thing. But over the years, you know, it seems like I have certain points, you know. I mean, if I have a real high point, for sure you're going to you can definitely expect that it's not going to be as good next time. Cuz you can't hit, you know, it can't be a hit every single time.
It's live performance.
Every once in a while you get together and you play and it just clicks. And there's no telling why but it's just like everybody's in the same headspace. You know, and it clicks.
It does click, and you. I mean, I've watched you live for years, and every time I see you, it's like there's sort of a magic around it. I can't even explain it. I guess maybe that's why people play jazz, because it's there's a lot of improvisation going on, a lot of creativity, and it's sort of by the second. Do you sometimes think, when you're playing in a I don't know if this sounds right or not, a jazz phrase, that all of a sudden you think, you know what, instead of going here, I'll go there instead?
I try not to think when I'm playing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that makes sense, too.
You know, it's enough to, like, learn the music and have it in your head.
Or not,
you know?
Think. Maybe it's by instinct. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say.
If you really know the material that you're playing, you know, and the downfall of a lot of, players, young or old, is the fact that they learn a lot of tunes, but they don't really learn them that well that they know them inside and out. So every time they play them, they never play them any better because they never try to improve upon them.
So they should know them rote before they perform?
What I would recommend anybody into learning jazz is take a few tunes and really learn them so that you can play them without the music. Mm-hmm. You know exactly where the chords are, where the melody is, where the song is, and then you integrate that into your experience. And then when you go on the bandstand, the music, you just kind of let it play itself. But there are so many songs out there, so how do you decide which one is going to be? Like, we played Joe Henderson, right? Well, every time you would go hear Joe Henderson, he would play Invitation. And Miles Davis, he would not only that, they would play the same tunes every night, but they would play them in the same order.
But last time I talked to you, you said that every jazz musician has a voice.
Yes.
So they have different voices, even though they're playing the same song. Is that a fair analogy or not?
Well, Joe Henderson would play Invitation completely different from Wayne Shorter.
Okay.
If they were side by side, or any other musician, because everybody has their own voice.
Right, including yourself.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before, when somebody, you know, the phone rings and you pick it up, and you, when one word and you know who's on the other end. Well, we do the same thing with music, is that, some people, they hear a saxophone and all they hear is a saxophone, but I hear the person playing it.
Right.
Because I know them. I know them just like, you know, I mean, you play 2 seconds of Wayne Shorter and I know exactly who it is, you know.
Right. You have your ear is very attuned, or you have a jazz musician's ear.
It's experience.
Right.
It's just experience.
Yeah.
You know, I've spent a lot of time at it.